Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament passage of Psalms. Psalm 124. Psalm 124. We're in a current series right now dealing with the power of Jesus' name. And we know that not only does God give His names as He reveals Himself to us, remember the names of God tells us some more about God's characteristics or His attributes. And we're going to do a complete study on the names of God later on this year. But we also notice throughout the Word of God that it also uses ways to use God's names, whether it's believing God's name, whether it's commanding His name, call upon His name, preach in His name. We saw on Sunday night, justified in His name. And we're doing a study of seeing these different ways of depending on God and His attributes by the way that we use His names. And it's been a very powerful study. We're in the middle of this series, probably about 40 in all. And we come to a very interesting one, especially since we just finished our study of the book of Isaiah, and you're going to see that this message actually is going to intertwine some of the things we learned in the book of Isaiah also with this series. So if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to Psalm 124. Psalm 124. And notice with me in verse number 1. Psalm 124 in verse 1, the Bible says, "If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us quick, and when their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters had overwhelmed us, and the stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord, who hath not given us any as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers, and the snare is broken, and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who hath made heaven and earth." And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in Psalm 124? Psalm 124 in verse number 8. Notice the phrase, "Our help is in the name of the Lord." Our help is in the name of the Lord. And as we're studying these different ways of using God's name, we find another one here, that our help is in the name of the Lord. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And I'm thankful that we could depend upon you and we can trust you. I thank you for the victories that we've seen. And I'm thankful that we could rejoice in the victories that you provide for us. Help us as we examine this psalm and be able to see that our help really is in you, and that we can rejoice and worship you because of those victories that you've brought to us. Again, I have no trust in myself, my physical health, my mind, my lips, my ambitions, my goals. I give them all to you and ask that you fill me with your precious Spirit so you can get your own work accomplished through your precious Word, and we can trust you to do so. Thank you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 124 is a part of what we would call the Song of Degrees. You would see this in the title of the songs. Remember, to the Hebrew people, the titles of the Psalms are considered scripture. And so it reveals something to us. The Song of Degrees of David. The Song of Degrees was something that the people would sing as they journeyed to Jerusalem for worship. So people would go to Jerusalem for different ceremonies, for different rituals, for different feast days. And as they would make their way to Jerusalem, they would sing these different Songs of Degrees. This specific Song of Degree is a psalm speaking about God providing the victories for us. We do see that the author of this would be David. However, Hezekiah the king, who also kind of collected these psalms and put them into order, he adopted this psalm for his very self. And it was very important because Hezekiah got to see God work in a major way, and he was able to use this psalm as a way to rejoice to God because of the victories that they were able to see. If you remember, as we did our study of Isaiah, we saw that the Assyrian Empire, who were the Nazis of the ancient world, a military machine, had just rolled across the Middle Eastern lands, that they had destroyed city after city after city. In fact, they destroyed the northern kingdom of Israel in 722 BC, just destroying Samaria and knocking those people and captive, taking them captive and transporting them throughout the Assyrian Empire. And then they began to destroy the various towns within Judea until finally they surrounded the city of Jerusalem. And now here's a military machine that has not lost a war. This is a military machine that is at the height of their power. And they've just got through destroying city after city. And if you remember in that account that they were currently attacking a city by the name of Lachish. What that meant is that they had an entire army surrounding Jerusalem. Then if that didn't work, they also had a backup army surrounding another town. So with this, you're seeing a military juggernaut that you have not been able to imagine losing. They have more soldiers than you. They're disciplined. They're veterans. And in case they don't work out, you've got another army that's just right around the corner that could finish off their job. If you remember that the king of Assyria at this time was Sennacherib, and he would send messengers to speak to the people of Judah and to speak to Hezekiah in their own tongue to try to tell them that their God was nothing. There was not a single Middle Eastern God who was able to stop the Assyrian war machine. And why would they expect this little local God, this Jehovah God, to be any different? And of course, we know the story as we studied it, that that was probably the wrong thing to do because they challenged God and God will defend himself. And after the battle was over, after God killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers overnight with just one angel, you can imagine what a great victory the people would feel. And so with this, Hezekiah adopted this psalm as himself and was able to sing this as a great victory psalm, praising God, saying, "Our help is in the name of the Lord." And so if you don't mind with that backdrop in mind, and we're going to kind of apply it to Hezekiah's day, as again, we just finished studying the book of Isaiah, let's look at this psalm together. And let's see this great victory psalm that you and I can also apply to our own hearts as God provides major victories in our life. Now, before we start, may I remind you that God is a God of victory. And we as Christians should be hopeful people because our God is on the throne. And that we should anticipate living from victory to victory to victory. Unfortunately, most people live their life living from defeat to defeat to defeat. But God wants us to live in victory, and then he wants us to rejoice in him because of the victories he provided. Amen. So notice, if you don't mind, as we examine this together. The book of Psalm 124, and the first thing I'd like to bring to you is that our help is in the name of the Lord, and he was on our side. Our help is in the name of the Lord, and he was on our side. Notice with me in verse number 1. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us. How often is it when trouble hits our life that God is not our first recourse? We often will search for other avenues of help, of solution. If you think at Hezekiah's day, as we studied the book of Isaiah, that God specifically told Israel, told Judah, told Hezekiah, do not trust in Egypt. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 10. He had referred to Egypt, or Isaiah 19, he referred to Egypt as a drunken man. You can't trust a drunken man to help you out. You can't trust a drunken man to be on your side. And yet, what was the temptation of the people of Judah, of the people of Hezekiah's day, was to trust in Egypt? Remember, Egypt at that time, again, I told you I'm applying all the lessons that we learned in Isaiah. Egypt was like a lot of smoke, but no fire. They kept saying how big and strong they were, but they weren't. It was a facade. They were there just to scare people. And yet they had no intention to help anybody. So what happened is that so many of those Middle Eastern kingdoms thought that Israel or that Egypt had their back. And so we could stand up against Assyria. Egypt promised to help us. And then Assyria would mull them over. And yet over and over they kept saying, Egypt's got my back. I could trust Egypt. But Egypt wasn't worth depending upon. Later on, we could see Hezekiah was even entertaining the Babylonian envoys. And remember that God was really upset. All throughout the book of Isaiah, God kept saying, you don't need to worry about the Assyrians. You need to worry about the Babylonians. The Babylonians in the future, remember, God sees all of time. God says, those are the people you need to worry about. And of course, the Babylonians did destroy Jerusalem in 586 BC. But God kept saying, those are the bad guys. Don't depend upon them. And yet, over and over, they thought that Babylon might be their hope. We see so many times that same thing affects us. When we go through hard times, we automatically go through our Rolodex, if you even know what that word means, of people that's going to help us out. The people we go for encouragement. The people that we go for strength. And you may think that person can go ahead and help you out, but they're going to fail you. I used to tell people, don't put me as your pastor on a pedestal because I don't want God to knock me off to teach you a lesson. I will fail you one day. I'm human. I'll mess up. God will never fail you. And we need to learn to trust in Him first and foremost. When trouble happens, who do you run to? Who do you go to? Who do you depend upon? The Lord, He's the one that's on our side. The God of the universe, He's going to give us the victory. If we're going to see victories in our life, we must learn to depend on God. Because people will let you down. Government will let you down. Yep. Nations will let you down. Family will let you down. Yep. Your own strength will fail you. All the things that you thought you can trust will crumble one time or another. And then where will you be left? So many times we trust God only when we've run out of resources. When we could have had victory a lot sooner if we ran to God sooner. Our help is in the name of the Lord, and He was on our side. It was God who was on our side. Imagine Hezekiah receiving a word from Sennacherib through his messengers saying, we're going to destroy you. There's nothing you could do about it. And then good old Isaiah comes, puts a hand on Hezekiah's shoulder and says, don't worry about it, king. God's with us. Could you imagine what a comfort that would be? To have that reminder that God is with you. When you're facing an overwhelming enemy, God's with you. God's there. Those enemy who's against us, sometimes they could seem so overwhelming. They could seem so big. They could seem so undefeatable. But as long as God is on our side, we're on the winning side. We need to put our trust in Him. Remember that Isaiah took this and he encouraged Hezekiah to pray, and Hezekiah prayed all night. He took that letter that came from Sennacherib and he prayed over it. Said, God, you got to do something about this. There's nothing we can do. Oh, praise the Lord that God is on our side. The second thing I'd like to show you as we go through this psalm, this victory psalm, is that our help is in the name of the Lord, or we would have been overwhelmed. our help is in the name of the Lord, or we would have been overwhelmed. Notice with me in verse number 3. Then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. This psalm describes two vivid threats that the people of Jerusalem faced underneath the Assyrian siege. First of all, they would have been devoured alive. He said they would have swallowed us up quick. They would have just eaten us whole. Then they said we would have been drowned by the overwhelming flood. It gives this imagery here. Have you ever faced an enemy so big, an obstacle, a darkness, something so big that you just knew it would consume you? There was nothing you can do about it. It was too big. That's what that Assyrian threat, again, imagine 185,000. That's a big number. 185,000 soldiers surrounding the entire city. These were people who were veterans. They have won battles already. The Assyrian war machine had knocked over everything. There was no help. And just letting them in would overwhelm them. It would have destroyed everything. When Assyria marched on with as a nation, there was no mercy. They didn't simply conquered, they humiliated. Remember, we often call the Assyrians the Nazis of the ancient world, because everything that Germany Nazi did, that's what the Assyrians did. And we've given comparisons before that the Assyrians were known for filleting people alive, just peeling people's skin. We know the Nazis did that whenever they saw a nice tattoo, they would make a lampshade out of it. The Assyrians were known for taking babies and throwing them up in the air and allowing their archers to take target practice. The Nazis, of course, did the same thing. If you'd imagine the most evil people with an undefeatable army, that's what you're facing. Of course, many people within Europe had that feeling when Nazi Germany started to begin to overwhelm all of Europe. How were they going to be stopped? Is there anyone that could hold their place? There's nothing we can do. There was a helplessness. Of course, many people during World War II switched over to the Nazi side to try to survive during that time. That overwhelming flood. Now here's Hezekiah. The only thing that was protecting him physically was some walls. And walls haven't been able to keep out this army ever before. Once those walls fell, there was nothing to stop them from overwhelming, from sweeping them. We've all had challenges like this, where the threat was too big, too overwhelming. Maybe it was a health thing. And you just said, I don't know what to do. My health is just going to overwhelm me. I just don't know if I'm going to survive this. Maybe it was something that was trying to oppose you. You were trying to get your own way and something was going to knock you off. Some of you have parents that feel like they're overwhelming you and I don't know how to defeat them. We all have those challenges. And by the way, it's not over. You're going to face more. And so many people will just give in, just surrender and just allow the wave to overwhelm them and just let them be wiped off. It's amazing how many Christians quit just because they hit a little bit of a hard time. And yet this was an impossible task. Unless the Lord had been on our side, unless we had believed in that the Lord was our help and we trusted the name of God, we would have been overwhelmed with a very real threat. Yet God intervened. What seemed unstoppable was suddenly halted. The flood waters receded. The consuming fire was extinguished. Without a single sword drawn, God fought the battle for them. Aren't you glad that we have a God of victory? The God who's able to defeat all the armies. We now come to one more thought. our help in the name of the Lord, who is mighty to deliver. Notice, if you don't mind, as we look again in verse number 6. Blessed be the Lord, who hath not given us as prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare, out of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Remember, this psalm is not just a record of relief. It is a song of praise, of absolute dependence on God who gave the victory. Remember, Sennacherib had wrote these letters that were mocking and blaspheming God, saying no God had ever delivered this nation from his hands, but his own words would be his downfall. Sennacherib, like many of the Assyrian kings, loved to have written down from them in their annals about their victories. And Sennacherib had victory after victory after victory. In Sennacherib's own writings, and this is why it's interesting as Hezekiah applied this to himself, in Sennacherib's own writings, he said that that Hezekiah was trapped like a little bird. That was his own writings. Well, you know what God can do? Is that he could let that bird free. Amen. He could take care of them. Interesting enough, as Sennacherib finished off his writings, he didn't say anything about conquering Jerusalem, where he talked about conquering all the other towns. All he said was Hezekiah was trapped like a bird, and then he moves on to the next subject. Why did he move on to the next subject? Well, because God killed 185,000 of his troops, and Sennacherib said, never mind, I'm going home, forget this. But interesting enough, that the same imagery that God had already put from the time of David was the same thing that Hezekiah felt and the same thing that Sennacherib wrote in his writings. I had Hezekiah trapped like a bird. Well, the good thing is that God is able to free even from the cage, from the snare, that when we think there's nowhere to go and there's no way out of this, God is always the way out. God is always the main way of escape. He is the way. We need to seek for his help. And when we get to the places, and we will get to the places where we say, I'm trapped. I don't know how to get over this. I'm overwhelmed. I'm at wit's end. I can't think of any other way to go. God says, I've got this. That's why we must keep our dependence on God. There is nothing too hard for God. When those things are staring you at the face and they look so big, they're giants when you're staring them right in the face. You must look past the circumstances and see the God of the circumstances. And when you compare whatever circumstances you have to God, they look very small. Amen. God is bigger than anything that you will face. Health issues, not a big deal to God. Amen. Government issues, not a big deal to God. Amen. Family issues, still not a big deal to God. Finance issues, God owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. He owns the taters underneath the hills. Amen. He's not worried about finances. To God, it's just number zeros. God, those things that overwhelm us, those things that we fret about, those things that we worry about, they're nothing to God. We keep our trust and faith on him, and we have a God who's able to deliver. Notice again, if you don't mind, in verse 8, our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Now, this is a big deal, because in the later writings of the New Testament, God finds that he has to identify himself, because they lived in a polytheistic society. Remember, poly means many, theistic means gods. And so everyone had a god. Remember, Sennacherib had his gods, and the Babylonians had their gods, the Egyptians had their gods. So when people said, I believe in God, well, which God? Well, God says, I'm the God who made heaven and earth. I'm the creator God. I'm identifying. I'm not a local chieftain God. I'm not a local God of some little tribe. I'm the God who made a heaven. I'm the God who made earth. I'm the God who's bigger than any small little g God you may throw at me. Amen. I'm the God who's bigger than anything. And you can trust me. Isn't that encouraging? You know, we do live in a polytheistic society today. And people believe in all of their things, whether it's an actual religion like Buddhism or Islam, or it's a philosophy like environmentalism or socialism or whatever ism you put into there. God is bigger than that. We know that our world likes to try to put our God equal to any. It's just all right, whatever you believe. It's all, as long as it helps you out. But God says, I'm not just a little temporary small God. I'm the big God who created heaven and earth. And you can trust me. You see, when we say that our help is in the name of God, remember, when we talk about the names of God, it's dealing with the idea of a characteristic or an attribute of God. What attribute, what characteristic are we trusting in? We're trusting in that our God is bigger than anything. He is the God of heaven and the God of earth. He's the God who made everything. Well, if he made everything, there's nothing on earth that's too big for him.
Amen.
God is bigger than it all. So the question we ask is, why do we fear? Of course, many of you read our Fear Not devotionals that we put out. In all of the emotions in the Bible, fear is the emotion that's used the most. Second of all is fear not.
Amen.
And that there are approximately 360 fear nots in the Bible, one for every day. God says, I got you taken care of. Why did he do that? So we would be reminded not to fear these things. We need to have a fear of God. And remember, as we define the fear of God is an emotional response that we develop because of our knowledge of him. And the more that you know God, the more you get to know him, the more that you realize, I can trust him. And that bigger fear takes away the lesser fears. Why should I fear this and this and this? When I see how big my God is. That's why he tells us to fear not so many times in the Bible. Because those little other fears are so little compared next to him. Now remember, this is a victory psalm. This isn't one that you are singing necessarily going into battle. This is what you sing after God's already got the victory. You are celebrating. Look at what God did for me. He gave the victory. I was going to be overwhelmed. I was going to be consumed. I had no way out of it. But God showed himself real once again. And I trust in that big God. He was on my side. This is a psalm that we should probably put into practice like the Hebrew people did. That whenever they had a great victory, they would go to this psalm. And take time to worship God and say, God, thank you for delivering me out of this. Thank you, Lord, for seeing me through this trial. Thank you, Lord, for taking care of the enemy. Thank you, Lord, for not letting me be consumed. Thank you, Lord, for being a big God. Aren't you glad we can trust him? And I know that this message was shorter, but I learned a long time ago that a message doesn't have to be eternal to be immortal. Well, this is a small psalm, and we could just get the idea we can trust God. But I know that we get reminded of it over and over. The question I want to ask you tonight is, are you singing God's victories after the battle? When's the last time you took God and thanked him, really thanked him after getting a big victory? When's the last time you took time to really thank him after getting a small victory? It would be a great habit for us to get into. I would suspect from the Bible that if you sing God's victories for the small ones, he'll keep giving you more victories so you continue to sing to him.
Amen.
In fact, I double dog dare you to see it if it doesn't work. Get in the habit of giving praises. Get in the habit of thanking him for all that he has done for us. We just got through with 2 weeks of camp and we saw some victories. We saw some movement for some folks that we'd been praying for. Some of it was small steps, some big steps. Praise the Lord for those victories. Some of you made some decisions. Did you take time to thank God for those victories yet? Some of you, since you've been back, have put some things into practice. Have you taken some time to thank God for those victories, for the strength that he's given to you, for not to fall back into some of those old habits already? Amen. For a lot of people, it doesn't take a full week for them to fall back. It just takes a couple hours from being back home. Yep. I want us tonight just to take some time to thank God for the victories that we had. And if you can't think of any victories, guess at them and see if you guess right. Let's just take some time tonight. I know that there's some other things to deal with, and of course we encourage you to do that. But I think it would be good for us to tonight, as our invitation, to take some time to thank God for some of the real victories that you've seen in your own life, some of the real answers to prayer that you've seen in the lives of others. And let's just take time to praise God tonight for being a wonderful God. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.